Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. 17 still. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. We're having a great time here at the 2006 Business Growth Diversity Summit in Memphis, Tennessee. A lot of really important people here today, and you've already met two of them, and you're going to meet two more in this hour and three more in the next hour who are part of this. Either they birthed this baby or they're running it, like our good friend Andrew Sherman, or the attendees, like our new guest and our new friend Todd Allen. Todd is a manager of International Internship Program at Johnson & Johnson. He's also part of the Global University Recruitment Team. Todd, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Good to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
What do you think about this diversity summit?
I think this diversity summit is good. I've attended a number of diversity summits over the years, and it's nice to see the advancement to the point where they're starting to talk about diversity as a strategy, and they're seeing it
not just an obligation.
That's right.
Out of fear.
That's right.
But it's becoming. We talked a little bit about this with Donna Finn. It's becoming a best practice now.
That's exactly right. So if you look at the changing global economy, I mean, we cannot ignore that the world is changing and that there are opportunities for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And there should be.
Johnson & Johnson is a big company.
Johnson & Johnson is a big company.
My company is a small company. But we have one thing, I think, in common. And it's the thing that every small business owner, if you poll 100 small business owners or 10,000 small business owners, the number one thing on their mind that wakes them up at night, basically, is finding quality, competent people.
Mm.
Not finding numbers, but the right people. And I bet Johnson & Johnson has the same situation.
That's exactly right. I mean, we look for talented leaders to run our businesses all over the world. J&J has 230 operating companies that are run by presidents or heads of companies.
Around the world.
Around the world. And so finding talent is very critical to the company's success.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what are you guys going to do about all that? What is Johnson & Johnson doing about all that?
Well, one of the things that we do is we encourage our employees to be passionate about the things that they can do to actually advance the company's goals and initiatives. And so J&J allows me to participate in the American Society of Mechanical Engineers. And I work with Mary.
Todd was just here, yeah.
Yeah, I work with Mary, and we try to bring awareness to the organization that we have to take advantage of the talent that's out there. And so those students that have been overlooked for many years, we're saying we can't do that anymore.
Who are those students?
Those students are your blacks, your Hispanics, your Asian students, they're your females.
Women, too?
They're women, yeah. Women who don't see the opportunities that they would like to see, let's say in the engineers and sciences and mathematics and technology.
Sitting here in 2006, if I had come to you, if you and I had been talking about this 10 years ago, would you have thought we had this much left, this far to go in 10, 11, or 11 years?
Well, I kind of look at it from the positive side, because what we've done, I mean, even though women may not be in engineering careers and fields in the numbers we'd like for them to be, they are populated in places like in medicine and
mm-hmm.
science
mm-hmm.
and research. And so the technical background is there. The aptitude continues to
mm-hmm.
Be demonstrated in the professions that they are seeking to look for.
That women seem to be to gravitate toward, right?
Women want to know that what they're doing will benefit the lives of people.
They want to make a difference, don't they?
They don't want
to just exist and get a paycheck. They want to make a difference.
Those things are
important to them, aren't they?
That's exactly.
Not that it's not to guys, but it's right out there on the cuff of ladies, isn't it?
That's right. So if I'm going to design a robot as a man, I mean, I may get all enamored in the technology, but for women.
We may think, well, you know, that this robot will help build a building.
Yeah, that's right.
But the woman is going to think about the women going in that, the people going in that building.
The people going in that building, yeah. And how does that robot actually impact life?
Mm-hmm.
So that's been an attraction, and we know that.
And that's an important perspective to have in the marketplace, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
Well, you know, Mary and I were talking, and you and Mary are good friends. We were talking about women becoming mechanical engineers.
Mm-hmm.
But... You know, if as I said to you off the air, women can solve every problem, any problem a man can solve,
right?
But they just might not be interested in the same problems that a guy would be interested in solving. You know, they might gravitate toward another type of a field than mechanical engineering or electrical or petroleum or whatever it might be. Should we try to move them into those areas?
I think we should try to tap into where the passion is, and that's one of the things I think that's important. For instance, we use mechanical engineers that are female, and they design the machines for us, and they design the plants and the facilities for us, but they also have the opportunity to work on products that that touch people's lives. So like designing a machine to make a baby product, or designing a machine that that helps women's health. What we see are different approaches to how they actually solve the problems, and it gives us a better solution in a lot of cases.
Right. Well, and you know, another thing that I think that you're doing, you and Mary both are doing, and others are doing, is not that you're trying to say you need to become mechanical engineers or whatever level they should be at, whatever they should be doing, but that let's make sure that you understand what the possibilities are.
That's
in all
exactly
those fields.
Right.
Get rid of the myths,
right,
and the stereotypes, right?
Right. That's exactly right. And so even on a global basis, you know, I presented at a workshop a couple of weeks ago. Data from the National Science Foundation showed that America was a leading nation of producing advanced science and engineering degrees. 77,000.
Right.
No other nation.
Right.
More. And now we're in a situation where we're only 60,000 degrees, and China is 250,000.
We got some work to do, don't we?
We got a lot of work.
Todd, will you come back another day?
Yes, I will.
We got a lot more to talk about.
Okay.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
Todd Allen, ladies and gentlemen, Johnson & Johnson. I'll be right back with another new friend, Demetrius Hutchinson.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.